Encara Messi! Gol!
What was the result? 3-0. 3 premiership, 3 for me and 2 for them.
Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
I prefer the sex.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chip the Keeper podcast, Everton Relegation Pod Special, Part 3, 2022-2023 edition. I'm hosting today, apparently. I'm Pranav, and I got Chris and Hunter with me. Kieran was really excited about this podcast, but he didn't set his alarm, so I don't know how excited he was about it. But I don't know. Maybe he'll get up. Maybe he won't. We'll shit on Everton regardless. But congrats for not getting relegated, I guess. You bottled your only chance for a trophy. Let's see. I made a list, but I don't remember it. I think we should start with Jake Daniels coming out as England's
first. Where's my question?
Oh, shit.
Damn right. I was ready for that. The taste of your own medicine there.
All right. I'll think of one. I'll give you guys, hopefully one of you guys go on off on like a long soliloquy. And then I'll think of a question. But anyway, so Jake Daniels came out as, the first UK male footballer, to be gay since 1990. The first one was Justin Fashanu, which like, I think the fact that there was a football player in 1990, that came out is kind of mind-blowing considering like the amount of hate that gets thrown around today, plus like he had to do that way back before it was even accepted, before clubs had like rainbow laces and all the virtuous signaling events that they have, you know, and he had to do that all before that. Thoughts, questions, comments?
I didn't know about the 1990 fact. I'm sure it was very difficult then, not that it's easy now, but yeah.
I mean, I feel like a lot. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I feel like a lot of the discourse is gonna be like kind of the same that we said about like Josh Cavallo, where it's just like people are just like, who cares, blah blah blah. But like, I don't know, people care. Like, I think it's important. In the women's sport, like there are a lot of lesbian soccer players, and like I just feel like representation matters. Maybe that's someone as like that someone who grew up in like a white town is like brown skin, which like I don't know, it didn't necessarily like hurt me, but like it's a cool to see someone that's like you playing the sport, and like just because you're gay doesn't mean you're worse at soccer, you know. And apparently Jake Daniels bangs in goals and he's 17. So maybe we'll see him on the come up.
That'd be awesome. Maybe he's the next, next big talent for sure.
He was like, who did he said he said he came out to like, and this was literally to his mother and his sister or something. And the next day he went and scored 4 goals. And this was like, in a semi-pro game. So, I mean, he's clearly a very talented player. He's not just some rando coming out, you know. I hope this isn't like the last time we hear his name, you know. Like Josh Cavallo, like it was impressive, it was great, but the problem is that like he is like an A-League player in Australia, which like I don't know, like I don't think he's ever like gonna make it big, but like he had his like kind of moment in the sun, and like he had his moment as a landmark for the gay rights movement, with coming out, but like I think that's gonna be his legacy on football. Hopefully, Jake Daniels' legacy on football like doesn't end here, you know. Hunter,
I'm sure he'll do some great things.
I mean, to be fair, not Jake. Josh Cavallo is also pretty young, I'm fairly sure. you know, there's always room to grow. So,
yeah,
fuck it. You know, let's hopefully we see one of these guys at the top someday.
That's true. Jamie Vardy was doing like menial labor until he was like 26.
25, yeah.
And then he went
they can,
2 years later.
They can both realistically make it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I just hope, like, I don't know. He says that this is like a big weight lifted off of him. I just hope it's not like a lot of weight put on him now, right? Like, because now he is like the face of England. Like, and he's probably like inevitably he's going to be scared. Like if I fuck up, like, that's like not good for the entire gay rights movement, like for like the entire population of male gay athletes, which like is pretty shitty pressure to have on him, which is why like it's like, I don't know, people like make fun of him for being called brave or whatever for coming out, but like you have to be pretty brave to come out and like shoulder an entire movement by yourself at 17 years old. But anyway, I hope we hear more about him. Now we'll go on to another young talent who I'm kind of sick of hearing about him, but we got to talk about him because it's him. Kylian Mbappe. I don't know where he's going, what he's doing. He's kind of just playing with both teams, and it's like it's pretty funny because he knows he has that much power. But yeah, sound off.
In the words of Kanye West, no one man should have all that power. You know what?
I think it's kind of nuts. Like, did you guys see the reported PSG deal?
The one where he owns the club?
Where he owns, like...
He makes, like, transfer decisions, right?
It's, like, it's either 35% of the club or, like...
No, Messi was the one that was 35% of Real Madrid. Or sorry, Inter Miami.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think Mbappe's yeah, he
becomes a sporting director or something like that, or he takes over some sporting position.
And he gets to decide like not only coaches but also like transfers. Apparently,
That's like, I don't know,
ridiculous.
Only LeBron should have that much power, you know. Like, I can't imagine any other athlete being able to do that. Yeah, I mean, LeBron shouldn't have that much credit, but
for me, that would be like, if I was that good and it's just me and I get offered $4 million a month, and then they also say, yeah, as well as all of this other responsibility, I would be like, no, or like, that's a negative for me. All I want to do is play soccer and make $4 million a month. I don't want to have to worry about good transfers and hiring good coaches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. If we're going to do a question, can we do Haaland versus Mbappe as our question?
No, that's a really boring. I mean, we can ask that question, but like, it's a boring question.
I'm going to remember. I'm not leaving this call. Until
no, I know. I know. I
just so you know.
I figured. Yeah, that's not lost on me. I mean, so where do you think he's gonna go? Where do you hope he's gonna go? Where do you think he's gonna go?
For his own career, I hope he goes to Real, just because like PSG obviously can't win anything. but I think you know, Real Madrid are obviously serial winners. So if he wants to win anything more than just the league and the Coupe de League, I think it is, like,
and the stupid World Cup or whatever season. The dumb World Cup, whatever that
I'm is. Talking about club.
I know,
clearly. Here's Chris again trying to start problems. But yeah, I think if he wants to win anything at the club level, he should go to Real.
It would just be so much more fun to see him at Real Madrid. It is what it comes down to. But, you know, Real Madrid is now, like, that attack is going to be ridiculous. Not, I mean, it's already ridiculous. Like, as it is, it's pretty ridiculous. And then You know that meme? It's like this guy, he's cooking, and then he like adds some spice into it, and then the whole thing sets on fire. That's basically what's going to happen to Real Madrid. When
no, he added the fries, Chris. I know what video you're talking about. All he did was add fries to like boiling oil, and it just exploded.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So,
how do you guys think?
I'd like to see it. It'd be cool.
Is there not like a romanticism about it that like Mbappe was born in Paris, and then he brings the first Champions League to the club? I know, like I'm talking about like PSG as if it's like a sob story, which it is, but not in like the classic way. But I feel like there's like a kind of a romanticism to it. I don't know. I just want Mbappe like gone. Like I just like don't want to talk about him. Like I just don't want to hear about him. I don't want to talk about him. He's not coming to Liverpool, so I don't like I'm just gonna be upset wherever he goes.
I mean, Luis Diaz is better than Mbappe anyway, so who cares?
Fair enough.
One of them is winning the Champions League and the other one isn't, so clearly.
Hey, don't jinx it.
If Mbappe goes to Madrid, how do you guys think they'll line up?
They probably put Mbappe on right back, I think. And then on left back, I think.
No. Real Madrid, not Chelsea.
And then center back would likely be good to have Vinicius there because he's speedy, so he can really track back.
I'm gonna say my favorite thing to say. Play Benzema in behind. In behind. So Mbappe won the World Cup playing on the right. So I don't think that's a terrible choice. But Mbappe is like the big marquee signing, so he's going to get to play where he wants. So maybe Vinicius on the right, Rodrigo coming off the bench, and Benzema in the center. And then eventually Mbappe transitions to striker position when Benzema's beard gets gray. Those are my thoughts. No one else has a lineup.
Yeah. I think
I said the proper lineup, but you guys can say these lineups.
I think I'm of a similar vein. I think Rodrigo should probably get loaned out for this first year. Just because
imagine scoring like two extremely legendary goals against arguably the best team in the world and then getting loaned out next season.
Well, he can't get loaned out. He really can't. Like that would just be so unfair.
Well, it's either that or Real switch to like a 4-4-2, and then somebody in the midfield gets dropped. You know what I mean? And I feel like Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro hold a lot more.
Well, they're going to get phased out in favor of Camavinga and Valverde and whoever eventually. I guess your point.
That midfield three have shown this season that they're still competent. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, like Kroos isn't that old. Casemiro isn't that old. Like, yeah, they're getting they're closer to the end than they are to the beginning, but I don't think it's, they're on that dramatic of a decline where you can just plug in Valverde and Camavinga and just say, okay, we now have a 4-4-2. But that's me. I think the best thing for Rodrigo is if Mbappe comes, loan him out to a probably top team, or at least close to the top team. And then once you start to phase out,
okay, we'll take another winger.
What's up?
Okay, we'll take another skillful, pacey winger.
I'll take Rodrigo at Chelsea. Him.
Can he play CDM?
No, but he'll play left wing back.
We could use
probably better than Marcos Alonso.
Probably.
I love how like these have been like tropes at the beginning of the season, and like your teams have done nothing to prove them wrong. Like they're just like ongoing, and they haven't stopped, and, like. I mean, we'll get to it. Actually, I guess we can get to it next, since the FA Cup's next on our docket. But like, I don't know, man. Like, well, okay. First, This isn't the question, but this is definitely like a question for Hunter. It's a little bit presumptuous, but I mean, do you think Tuchel makes it through the summer?
Yes. I don't know. That's me seeing it as a Chelsea fan and also having my ear close to Chelsea news, because like there aren't really, I feel like if Tuchel were to like be like close to the door, there would be rumors about it. You know, especially with,
well, you don't have like solid ownership yet. Like, you don't know what they're saying.
Is it not confirmed Todd Boehly?
No, isn't what happened recently? Maybe there's another update. I'll look it up now. But I mean, as far as I know, like, it was like supposed to be confirmed Todd Boehly, and then all of a sudden Abramovich was like, psych, that's the wrong number. And then now there's like the deal up in the air, and like and Chelsea might not get registered for next season. And like, that's the last I heard. Like, I haven't heard after that like Chelsea can like the deal has been secure, but let me just check on that.
I think Tuchel's fine. He got them to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They got third place. It's not terrible. I know they won the Champions League last year, but I know Chelsea's form hasn't been very good recently, but he's a great manager. They'd be pretty dumb to fire him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like I said, there would already be rumblings of Tuchel being out, and also like there really isn't any need for Chelsea, especially in a non-Abramovich era, to just fire Tuchel. You know, like, I think it was Roberto Martinez, I think, was fired after coming like in second and winning the FA Cup because it wasn't good enough. You know, like, Antonio Conte was fired the year after he won the Prem for Chelsea. But I think this is now a different era, a different kind of style of ownership. And also, like, Thomas Tuchel has brought Chelsea to two domestic finals that we didn't win. You know, it took both to kind of win those. What's up?
Why didn't you win those?
Because we couldn't do it on penalties. But that's like, I thought it was all luck, Chris. I thought Chelsea were just purely unlucky that we did. I'm not having
problems. But that's where Neuro 11 comes in.
Sounds like a sales pitch now.
Do you want your team to win FA Cup finals? Yeah. Is your team terrible at? But no, it's like he's won two trophies this year, or one and a half if you don't think the UEFA Super Cup is a this year trophy and more of a preseason, but you know, whatever, semantics. I don't know. I don't really see a reason to fire him.
Oh yeah. So
sell him, we'll buy him. I mean,
imagine if managers were also sold.
That'd be so much more fun. That would be so much fun.
They
should do that.
Zidane has a $7 billion release clause.
So the problem was that Abramovich like went back on his promise to clear the $1.6 billion loan, which is like a lot of money. I don't know, it's gonna be difficult to pay back. So I mean, like Boehly has been like the preferred bidder, but they haven't actually like cleared it. Another question is that like what's the problem at Chelsea? You know, like, for whatever reason, when they play Liverpool, they always go ahead like toe-to-toe really well with Liverpool, and then like lose on penalties, which is like fine. It's lucky or whatever, skill, whatever you want to call it, but it's not like it isn't like the full like a true measure of like who's a better soccer team, you know. But we've played four times this season, we've drawn four times this season. But other than that, like, you're losing to fucking like Everton. Like, what's wrong with Chelsea?
They'll be fine.
No, but like something's clearly like right, like
so, yeah, so something is not right, Christopher. Well,
so Chelsea doesn't really have anything to play for, right? Like, because we noticed that the form started to dip as soon as they got eliminated from the Champions League, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, they have not been performing well. They're in third place. Like they've known for like months now that they're going to be in third place. So I mean, you know, obviously it would have been nice to win the FA Cup.
Well, I mean, before Arsenal dropped the ball real hard, Arsenal was like chasing. Like Arsenal had like a legitimate bid to catch them, and they were, if the form continued, like they were going to. And then Arsenal beat themselves over the head with a stick, like they do. But
well, they did, that was just part of the documentary. But yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, like, Chelsea's assets were frozen and, like,
I was waiting for you to bring that up because their women's team have done the fucking double. Actually, wait, I don't know if they won the league, but they won the FA Cup the next day. Their women's team has been insane. Emma Hayes is a god-tier manager. She's a way better manager than Lampard. All right. I think she should be managing the men's team, to be completely honest. But,
okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, also, like our women's team is also, like, kind of fucking nuts. Like,
confirmed. Up there they did, with, they like, did do the, they did do the double.
Like up there with, like, probably not as good as Barcelona, but, like, one of, like, the top five teams in the world, like, convincingly.
I mean, the men's team just won the Champions League.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, so like they should be up there. Like if your reason is that like the assets were frozen or whatever, like the women's team's assets were frozen also, but they first of all they had like actually a sick title race against Arsenal. They won by a point and they won the domestic double. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with the men's team.
I don't know either, but also like. I don't know. I feel like when you compare the women's team to other women's teams and then like compare that to the men's team versus other men's teams, the women's team is better. So of course,
say that, but I'm going to use your own argument against you. Like, the women's team have not won the Champions League. The men's team just won a Champions League. Like they should be doing better.
And then the men's team went on to win the world title. I'll put that out there again.
That is the worst.
Any title in which you could potentially face the Seattle Sounders is not a serious title.
God, someone said it.
but then, like, you know, like we went to two cup finals. You know what I mean? So it's like now if the women's team went and won the quadruple and the men's team got relegated, then yeah, what the fuck? But
they have four trophies to win.
It's not like I'm gonna ignore that. It's not like I don't know. I don't think it's like that big of a deal. Now, yes, Chelsea's form has slipped, but it's like I still think that like the distraction of the whole situation like is a very obvious and very and should be a very acceptable
if that's your argument, right? Like there if you're saying like comparatively to the teams they play, like Chelsea comparatively to Everton and comparatively to Brentford is supposed to be a much, much better team. And they got clobbered. Not by Everton, because it's Everton, but like at least by Brentford. You drew United 1-1, which is like, and then you lost to Arsenal, who are like really bad now. So
I don't know what you're looking for. Maybe the women's team is stronger mentally and can withstand it. They're also just the nature of sports less in the spotlight, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
I guess that makes sense.
Like the only obvious answer is the Roman Abramovich situation. Like, I don't know. It's also like, I don't follow the women's team that closely. Like, I don't know like what their injury situation has been. You know what I mean? Like, because Chelsea have had pretty significant injuries, you know, like, and significant players leaving. I know. Oh shit. I forget her name. Coop. One of the Chelsea women's players like is leaving, but it's, you know, it's.
Oh, the Asian woman.
Yeah. I forget her name.
I remember her being like sick or like reportedly sick. I haven't watched her play. Sam Kerr is sick though. She's like a deluxe Lukaku, in that she scores the goals. But anyway, okay, I'll leave you alone with that. We can go to the rest of the Premier League. Kieran still isn't here. I guess we could delay talking about Everton. Whatever. Maybe we'll talk about it. But okay, Arsenal. Arsenal have really done some bits. I mean, Chris, you wanna talk about Arsenal for a bit?
The documentary is ruined.
I would say it's enhanced.
Well, yeah. this whole year we've romanticized about this idea of Arsenal qualifying for the Champions League on the final day of the season after, you know, just this whole plot armor, you know, up and down story, and they botched it. I mean, it's not over yet, but like, it's over. If Tottenham lost to Norwich, that would be the most perfect way for the documentary to end, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's forgetting about plot armor. You know, everyone's right. Like, oh, it's in the bag. But there's plot armor.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal got whooped by Tottenham. What was it, like 3-0? I think at halftime. And then you can probably hear that car driving by. And then they lost to Newcastle, which honestly, like, losing to Newcastle isn't even embarrassing anymore. Like, they're a good team, which sucks, but that's another story.
I mean, they got the shit I played out of them by Newcastle. Like, they didn't just, like, lose Newcastle.
Yeah, wasn't it, like, some ridiculous possession stat, too? It could be wrong.
I don't recall, but I just, like, it was, they didn't look at it, you know, like, they didn't look like a team that was fighting for top four. They just looked like Newcastle looked like the team that was fighting for top four. Like, it was a pretty big disparity.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been rooting for Arsenal this whole way. I just, like, I was rooting for Spurs for the North London Derby just because, like, it makes it more interesting. But I didn't think Arsenal would lose to Newcastle, you know, like, I thought it would go down to the final day. I just wanted Arsenal to pit it, you know. I just want other drama other than my own drama, you know.
That's fair, but that's that. So, sorry, Arsenal. Enjoy getting eliminated in the quarterfinals of the Europa League.
And now we got relegation. So we got Leeds and Burnley now that Everton have secured their place. Also, like, I don't know, maybe we'll bring this up again if Kieran ever decides to hop on, but like the celebrations of the Everton like fans and players, like I just think it's like it's funny. Like I get it, and like if I were in the same position, I'd celebrate like crazy too. But I do think it's funny because like they put themselves in a really shitty situation and now they're like celebrating the players. And like this will go down as like a legendary like Everton escape, you know, like Frank Lampard will go down in Everton history in like probably a good way, which like I don't think he deserves, but like I mean not just him, just like I'm sorry for all this pointed Chelsea hate. I just woke up and said I didn't just wake up, but I've been doing this for a while, but I didn't mean to make it so bad this time, but like I just don't get the No, I don't know. That's not true. I get it, but it's just like an interesting sports thing, you know, like that. Like Everton were really shitty and put themselves in this position, and then they pulled themselves out of it, and now like these men are gods. After these men were utter shit before, you know, like they were like this, for the last like maybe like 3 or 4 weeks of the season, like these guys were either going to be like heroes or zeros, and that, there was no in between at all.
Can we please discuss the Frank Lampard versus Rafa Benitez stats here real quick? Because I just want to make sure that Hunter, you know, Hunter liked to use the stats earlier. So I thought, Pranav, would you mind sharing those stats really quick so Hunter can retain that information?
Right, yes. Let me just find that real quick. So I believe, let me just find the messages, but I believe that, so Frank, Rafa Benitez is responsible for 49% of Everton's Premier League points. And which you're like, oh, okay, so Lampard has more points. Like, this is all Lampard's doing for bringing them up. So, that's until you realize that Rafa has only managed 47.3% of the season, which means that Rafa did better in terms of points than Lampard did. So you should be – Everton fans should be thanking Rafa for saving their asses rather than Lampard. Is all I'm saying.
Thank Rafa's first flurry of four games like Everton do every year.
Yeah, but like it still worked out. People are just, I don't know, it was just recency bias. They sacked him. That's not true. He was a bad manager for Everton. But so was Lampard. You know what? Bring in Emma Hayes to manage Everton. She'll do better. What else we got on Everton?
Frank Lampard is going to go down as a club legend. You're right.
Oh, I was at the gym today, and on one of the TVs they have like ESPN or whatever, and they were playing the comeback. It was basically just like the match highlights on the TV, and I was sitting there like about to do my next set of bench press or whatever it was. And I was just sitting there like getting hype just in the middle of the gym watching who scored the third goal?
DCL.
Yeah. Like watching him do it, and I was like, let's go. And I was like, wait, I have to realize, but I have to look at where I am and relax a little bit. But it was exciting to watch from a kind of not really neutral perspective,
Okay, I will give them credit for that comeback. That comeback was pretty ridiculous. Like, they were 2-0 down. I was like, this is dumb. Like Everton are going down. And then they didn't. And, like, that, like, I totally understand. I think, I will give Everton fans credit for, like, not fans. I don't know. I will give the fans credit separately. But, like, I'll give Everton credit for, being able to pull that out of the fire. But I think this comeback is definitely like mostly down to the fans. Like, I think the fans did like an insane job of rallying behind their team. I think they did a really good job like recognizing like this isn't the time. Like when the New York Knicks were like, I mean, they're still losing a lot. Like when they were losing like a lot, the fans would come to the games with like paper bags on their heads. Everton fans had done that, like they would have been game over. Like they would have been down 2-0. But good on Everton fans for recognizing that they needed the support to rally behind them. And they made it happen. So all credit to them, but also no credit to them because they fucking I can't get over Kieran's top six take, but whatever.
I think Anthony Gordon's the only player that wanted Everton to be in the top six. I don't think any other player wanted that.
Yeah, and he looked like it too. He's going to get scooped up by a legitimate club in 1 or 2 years.
What place do you guys think Everton will be in next year?
Either 18th or like 10th.
The thing I was thinking about earlier today, I was just like, Like, what's Everton's excuse? You know, like, I don't know. Like, they spend a fuck ton of money. They spend more money than Liverpool. And, like, people are always complaining about, like, how technically, like, Liverpool is a blue-collar club. But, like, recent, I mean, obviously, like, football-wise, it's not that way. But, like, I don't know. People are always like, oh, like, Everton have less money than Liverpool. But, like, Everton spent way more money than Liverpool. Everton had a worse net spend than Liverpool. And they ended up fucking, 14 places behind Liverpool. Actually, fingers crossed, 15 places behind Liverpool. But, I don't know, like, what's wrong with Everton? Like, why, like, not in what's wrong with Everton, but, like, why did they, like, not do horribly last season and, like, they ended up in, like, why were they battling relegation this season, you know?
Ancelotti definitely played into that. They had a lot of injuries. I mean, DCL was out.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's not really enough to warrant being in 18th place for, you know. You can't have, like, the issues that I just stated and then, like, drop that much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, like...
Well,
like,
I guess you can. They did. But you shouldn't.
Because Liverpool had their entire team, like, injured last season, and they dropped, what, like, third? Like, they didn't... Like, that would have been, like, Liverpool dropping to, like, I don't know, like, 11th or something. Maybe not quite, but, like, 9th or something like that, you know? With, like, way more injuries. And, like at least, like, Liverpool had, like, the excuse of, like, crowds, like, not being there and stuff. But I don't know. Okay, I hope he gets on because I
have a point. This whole Everton is an issue thing seems to be across the entire organization, both men's and women's, because while Chelsea women's outdid the men, winning the title, Everton women's finished the season in 10th, which isn't that bad until you realize there are 12 teams in the Women's Premier League. And Reading women's is in the Prem. So, what? And Birmingham City. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know who's not in the Prem?
Liverpool.
Or the WSL? Yeah, Liverpool. However, Liverpool did win the second division, so... We'll be meeting you there next season. You know, there's an American player that plays for Liverpool, but like, none of us have ever heard of her because, like, Liverpool aren't good. Like, the women's team aren't good. But yeah, like, what was it? I think it was the Ballon d'Or ceremony, or the FIFA the best center ceremony, where it's like Chelsea won Club of the Year. And like, first of all, at first I was like pissed off. I was like, there's no way. And then I was like, oh, it's like a men's and women's thing. It's like, oh, Liverpool are literally never gonna win this. Because they just don't invest as much in the players don't even meet each other, which is like pretty mind blowing. Like they're part of the same club and they don't even meet each other. Do like, your even own two ads do. Together, like they're still like separated temporally.
You gotta stick to your own thing. You gotta do your own job.
All right. Do you guys want to talk more Arsenal or go on to Frankfurt?
If Arsenal somehow scrape, is it? What's the points gap between Arsenal and Spurs going into the last day?
I believe it's
2 points.
Two, yeah. So
who's Spurs, who are they playing?
Norwich. Arsenal's playing
Norwich.
Yeah, and like it would be like the most like Spurs DNA thing. Ever, like in the history of Spurs.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's something that Spurs could very easily ruin. Like Arsenal could ruin it, but Spurs could like just as easily bottle this.
In Men and Blazers, they call the Spurs the anti-Real Madrid because Real Madrid has this magic where they just like they like unbottle everything from Spurs. Like this would be such prime Spurs position, you know? Like, they just need to draw. I mean, okay, maybe they could draw an Arsenal win by fucking 15 or 16 or something, and they win. But, like, I don't think Arsenal's playing 16 past Everton, regardless of how bad Everton are. But I mean, yeah, they can lose and have Arsenal take it, which I'd love to see that happen, honestly. I'm watching the game with I'm watching the game with an Arsenal fan and a Spurs fan. So that'll be fun.
That'll be stressful for them.
I mean, I don't think the Tottenham fan's too stressed, but like come the 70th minute.
We'll Norwich see. Norwich is gonna win 2-1.
I want a Josh Sargent double so badly. this man scored two goals in this entire season. They were both in the same game. One of them was a scorpion kick. Imagine if he scores two more to send Tottenham into fifth. His entire contribution for the year. And then Pukki adding a third just because, and then going down and coming back up. Okay, we'll move on from Arsenal. Frankfurt, Eintracht, has won the Europa League on, you guessed it, penalties. They did not have Neuro 11, but they outlasted fucking Rangers. Oh, the house is Stevie built. I was a sad boy. I was really on this Rangers train. They did acquiesce to my prediction in that they got to the Europa League final at the Ibrox, but they just came up short. Hunter, you were watching the game, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was following along on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I was not watching the game, and I remember like. At one point, somebody tweeted out like Celtic are through, Celtic whatever, the house that Stevie built, and then
Rangers. Who, wow, you're about to get shot.
That's fine. I don't know any Scottish people. I'm sure I do, but like, if sure, have words with me. I'm sure I'll be fine.
Feed you the Loch Ness monster.
And it's fine. But yeah. Gotta get the team here. Rangers, I almost said Celtic again. When they went ahead, people were like tweeting and like, oh my god, like it's happening. And then Frankfurt came back and Aaron Ramsey came on to take a penalty and he missed. So
when Ramsey stepped up, I was like, this is not gonna go well. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't think he's a bad player. And, like, I haven't watched enough of him to really make a judgment. But I was just like, hey, I know him. Oh, this is not going to go well. And, like, that was my entire thought process. And then his penalty got saved. That was that.
I'm pretty sure he's on, like, ridiculous wages as well.
Probably. I mean, he's, like, a marquee signing. I mean, their goalkeeper was really, really – oh, the goalkeeper was Kevin Trapp. He was ridiculously good this game. I only watched extra time, but he made a couple of ridiculous saves. One of them was on the ball got played to Ryan Kent, who I'm sure you know Hunter because he's an OP FIFA card.
Absolutely. 5-star weak foot.
5-star skills too, right?
No. 4-star skills, 5-star weak foot, but nuts pace, nuts dribbling.
Yeah.
He's got the jam to him.
he got played the ball in. I guess his isn't have 99 finishing because he did a very bad job of finishing that. And then Trapp did a really good job of smothering it, so credit to him. But I was listening to this one podcast and they're talking about how like thank God Rangers went through and not Leipzig, because like that would have been like kind of like a new reckoning for German football. And that like Leipzig is this like really big like new money team, like it's sort of in the way that City is, but we don't think of them in the same vein just because like City is so dominant, and they're English. But, I think Rangers versus Frankfurt for a neutral, like it was always going to be like a feel good, like finale, you know, like a feel good story in the end. And Frankfurt are fucking like 11th or some shit on the Bundesliga table. I'm not even going to bother to check, but they're not doing so hot. They're either like 8th or 11th or 7th or something. 11th, like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's like, it's pretty insane that they pulled this off. Chris, you're German. Say something.
I am German. The reason Rangers didn't win is Amad Diallo is loaned out to them, and he's a Manchester United player, and Manchester United players don't have trophies in their DNA. So it was not Stevie G's fault. It was entirely Manchester United's fault. I'm surprised Hunter didn't bring it up, because it's always Manchester United's fault.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so we'll – oh, I forgot about the title race. That's right. Forget about the title race.
We can come back to that.
So Holland – sorry, this is just a mishmash. Like, none of the topics actually follow each other. But anyway, Holland is now a City player. It's official. It's announced. I'm depressed. And – yeah, that's that. Like,
it's fun, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, like City's whole thing, right? They create like 3 billion chances, and the only thing that makes them fun is that they don't finish all the chances, and now they're gonna finish chances they don't even have. So, like this isn't gonna be fun for other teams. Maybe I'll like tune into City games and just like watch them wreck teams, and it's gonna be like fun to watch, but then sad because it's City.
But I still don't think they're gonna win the Champions League. Is that a hot take?
No,
I just don't think they will. No. At least not in the next 2 years, is my take.
No, I'm with you. I just like there's definitely like a curse on them, but I think that. One thing that's like a little bit off-putting is the fact that City are owned by a nation state that doesn't have like a super popular track record with human rights. And Holland and like Norway and stuff like has like come out publicly like over and over like condemning human rights violations in Qatar and stuff like that. So I feel like this is just like a kind of bad, like all this kind of flies under the radar because it's like not what anyone wants to talk about, but it's kind of like a bad look morally for Holland to go to City, but like whatever, like that's gonna be erased by like the 45 goals he scores next season. So
the other thing is like Newcastle's on the scene now. Like I feel like people get mad about it initially and then they like forget about it, unfortunately, which is sad, but I feel like people have unfortunately short-term memory on that.
And it's just weird, you know, like because you're a professional.
It's wrong. You can go anywhere
you want. I just like maybe this is because I'm not a professional football player and I don't have these opportunities, but like you can go literally anywhere you want. Like, why would you choose? Like, I understand it's a good club, but like you can, if you go to like another club, you can elevate that club to a, like, you're so good that you can elevate that club to above City's level, but he like didn't. I don't know. I feel like he had other choices, and he didn't. I don't know. Actually, that's not true. No other team other than like PSG, which has his own questionable little stuff going on, could pay him $500K a week. So
the other thing, and you know, I think Hunter might not admit it, which is fine. Fred is a better player than Holland. And Hunter, if you don't want to admit it, it's okay. I know you haven't come to terms with it yet, but you know, Manchester United paid more money for Fred than Manchester City paid for Holland. And so I think it's important to acknowledge that.
I removed Chris.
Put him in timeout.
Give Chris in timeout. I hope you can join again. I hope I didn't
I think you also have the option to mute him, but whatever.
I probably should have done that.
All I want to say is United spent £80 million on Harry Maguire when they could have just waited and spent 70-something or whatever on Holland. But, you know.
Me typing to Chris that I miss him is probably gonna, the sound is gonna pick up on the recording anyway. Okay, We here at Chip the Keeper podcast do condemn the words of Christopher Singer. that Fred is a better fucking player than Holland. There's things you say as memes, but that is. Oh shit, Chris, I think I fucking. Oh, how do I? Ruh-roh. Did I like sort of ban Chris?
Did you?
I think I may have. Let me just send the link. Hope that works.
Good. Good. You know what? For what he said, he deserves it.
I didn't realize clicking remove would do that.
It shouldn't.
I also clicked, it asked me if I wanted to report, and I said, don't report. So, bro.
Well. For those of you following along at home, Pranav decided to put Chris in timeout, and now Chris can't come out of timeout.
Yeah, I didn't realize the no-no chair was going to be a permanent no-no chair.
You should have put him in a breakout room or something.
That would have been funny. It's like a new Zoom account. Oops. Anyway, okay, so... Oh, no.
All right, okay, moving
on. We'll wait for Chris to... just resurrect to talk about Serie A. I guess like we're the two best people to do this, but Gaga, what's his face, has now declared for the USMNT.
I don't know what the big deal with that was.
He's a sick goalkeeper, but he's really young. We have goalie issues, and he can.
I don't think so.
Well, fuck you, me. I don't think so. Did you watch Zach Steffen?
Have you watched Matt Turner?
No, because he doesn't play. Like he played in the MLS, and then he is about to ride.
He was nuts for the men's national team, and then like all of a sudden, it's like Gaga's our last hope.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. We didn't want him to go to Poland, and then it was really funny because he was actually called up for the Polish national team, and like the Polish FA like the. I don't know, the president, the commissioner, someone like came to a soccer game, watched it with him, like it took a picture with a Polish jersey with his name on it. And then I feel like the US made no effort to contact him at all. And now we got him. So that's cool. Fuck you, Poland. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, you don't think we have, I don't know. I feel like that position made me nervous. Like I'm not confident in it. Like, I don't know how good Gaga is, to be honest, but.
Like, if we had that quality player, like, at striker, and we were, like, gunning for him, like, yeah I would be nervous about him going to a different country. But, like, I don't think goalkeeper was one of our, like, massive problem areas. I think we could have at least gotten by it. And also, like, he's probably not going to be in the World Cup roster for later this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So unless we decided to bring four goalkeepers, which would be the most Greg Berhalter thing ever. But like it wasn't that pressing of an issue. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like we want to plan for the future, but like he wasn't gonna get in the team immediately, so it's like kinda who cares, not who cares, but like for this next and most important.
I mean, it was like a pretty big deal. Like, he wrote a letter and everything.
Well, right. But to me, it's like, and I kind of share this with Sam's Army, is like, he has this whole, like, next man up mentality. It's like, okay, like, Weston McKennie gets hurt. All right, next man up. Who's going to play in the midfield? We're fine because we have depth. So, like, I have the same thing where it's like, okay, he's 17. The first meaningful, like, big tournament that he's going to play in is 2026. surely there's going to be at least one other good goalkeeper to come up in the next 4 years. All right, cool. Next man up. So, like, if we lost him, I wouldn't have been – like, yeah, like, obviously, like, if he is as good as he can be, fuck yeah. We got a dope-ass goalkeeper. If not, I'm sure there's going to be at least one other good goalkeeper coming up who's around his age, if not even younger, you know, to fill that spot. So it's like, yay, good. I guess I don't share the same, like, desire for him as everybody else, but I mean, I'll take him.
That's fair.
Do you think Greg Berhalter, like, is deserving of the shit he gets? Because, like, everybody says that he's, like, really bad, but also, like, he has, like, single-digit losses with the U.S. men's national team. I feel like he kind of gets a bad rap.
I mean, he's been playing against fucking, like, Suriname and shit. Like, I hope so. Like, I don't think he's done anything of note. Like, I don't...
I mean, he beat Mexico 3 times in a calendar year and lifted 2 trophies. When was the last time the U.S. lifted a trophy? And beat Mexico convincingly 3 times in a row.
I wouldn't say it was, like, convincing. The Dos Hazara, like, was convincing. That was sick. It's a fair point, but it's also like every other Mexico team that every other manager has come up against was a much better Mexico team.
Well, right, but it's still a good team. Like, yeah, they're old and they kind of declined, so that's probably why we kind of fucked them up 3 times in a row and beat them in 2 separate finals, but, like, we still beat our biggest rival 3 times in a row and then drew against them away at the Azteca in World Cup qualifying, which, you know, wasn't our best performance, but it's like another manager probably would have tried to put out Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, you know what I mean? And Landon Donovan, because Mexico is his other team, he probably would have scored an own goal for them because he felt bad or something, you know what I mean? Like, so it's to me, it's like he deserves a little more credit than he gets. He obviously plays favorites. He obviously kind of has those players that, like, regardless of the competition of their performance at the club level, at international level, they'll be in the team, like Sebastian Legette, Paul Arriola, stuff like that. But I do think that he's done a really good job of bringing through young talent. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think in years past we would have seen all of these different striker options play. I think it would have just been, okay, we're going to find one striker and then Josie Altidore would still be in the team. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, I don't know. I think he deserves a little more credit.
Yay. I'm gonna fix it.
Hey.
All right, so we got Chris back. I don't know what happened to Hunter now. Oh shit, I lost my entire list of stuff I was talking about.
Did you write it in the Zoom?
No, I wrote it in the chat and then I got rid of that meeting. Okay. You know,
we're doing it live.
We are currently live. You could have taken that time to think of a question, but I don't know any questions.
I have a question for you. Why don't you think Fred is better than Holland?
Chris! Testing my patience.
Yeah, you're having none of my shit.
I just thought it would be funny, but then I fucked up.
It was funny. What was even more funny was it took me 15 minutes to get back in.
Where's Hunter?
I bet he's fast asleep right now, would be my guess. What do you want to talk about? We can
Okay, well, I wanted to wait for you to talk about Serie A and also the United Players Banquet.
Yeah, let's. Why not?
All right, which one? Which one do you want first? What?
I prefer to get the bad one out of the way. So, the United Players had an incredibly embarrassing season, as we all are well aware of, and so they are not going to do the Players Banquet, which is, I believe it was a player's decision. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah. It wasn't like a United sanctioned thing.
Yeah, and let's face it, that's the right thing, because there's really nothing to celebrate this year at all. And I'm happy, because, like, who would go to that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. So, I think it's a little bit bullshit. Like you're telling me David De Gea doesn't deserve anything?
Well, De Gea and Ronaldo deserve some praise, but
you tell me David De Gea and only David De Gea doesn't deserve anything?
I mean, David De Gea is just like the guy that puts the whole team on his back and doesn't get any credit, but he loves Manchester United too much to unfortunately change that situation. So I feel bad for him.
So apparently the players that are selected for the awards will still get like the awards. But at the same, like, I feel like De Gea deserves better, you know? Like, I don't think it's like, I think it's a little bullshit. Like, I think it's like a, I think it's just a public like a public service scheme, you know. Like, I don't know. Like, the players haven't shown that they want to play for the club, but like, I don't know. I think it's a little bit weird, you know. And then like the players that actually did something for the club, like, what, they're not going to recognize them? And Ronaldo's going to win Player of the Year anyway, because Ronaldo just wins Player of the whatever the fuck for no reason, for whatever reason. So,
I mean, that's what he does. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of see what you're saying. It is a little bit weird to not do anything. But, I mean, De Gea just needs a better guy. Just better. He needs four defenders in front of him that know how to defend. And, unfortunately, he hasn't been given that this year. And then, I mean, you're just going to get me started on a rant here. But, I don't know. It is kind of weird, but this was the worst United season since, what was it, 1956 or 65 in terms of point totals? which is really sad. And I think the other thing, like, Ten Hag is not going to fix this thing overnight. Like, there's no shot that it's like a flick of a switch and all of a sudden everything's good. Like, he's got a mountain to climb. And honestly, even next year, United might not qualify for the Champions League. I'm not confident that they will. So I don't know, man. It's, you know, I genuinely normally sleep better at night when I don't think about Man United. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. I thought of my question. Would you rather manage United,
oh god,
Everton, or Arsenal?
Sorry, my neighbor's live. One sec.
Are they banging?
I don't think so.
Oh.
That
would have been really funny.
That would have been interesting content. This podcast would become X-rated, I suppose.
Different platform.
Definitely wouldn't. So here's the thing. I feel like the easy answer here, there really isn't an easy answer. I think Manchester United would actually be the one that I would want to manage the least, just because the expectations are the highest and they have a lot of issues. That being said, managing Everton wouldn't necessarily be a cakewalk this year. So I think Arsenal is the best shout to manage because, like, Arsenal hasn't made the Champions League since 2017, right? It's been a few years. So I feel like the expectations aren't that significant, you know? Yeah. I don't know. What would you do?
I was originally just going to make the question United or Everton, but I just added a third club in there, and I thought Arsenal was – actually, no, originally it was United and Arsenal, and then I was like, oh, Everton's also a good one to throw in there. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I think United, the expectations are just too high, and like the club is just absolutely rotten. I think I'd go with Arsenal too because, like, Arsenal, like, yeah, it has its own problems, and it's, like, it's pretty funny how they keep just, like, fucking up. But at the same time, like, the club itself isn't, like, rotten, you know? It's not, like – it's Arsenal being Arsenal. It's, like, it's – the players are too young, and they're not mature enough. And, like, it's just a player's issue with Arsenal rather than, like with Everton and United, there's just so much more wrong that you have a lot less control of as manager.
Yeah, like, Arsenal's promising, you know, like, just going back to, you know, you saying them having some young players, like, Saka, Odegaard, Smith Rowe, like, there's some, like, future stars in that squad, and so, like, there's hope in Arsenal, whereas I don't know if there's hope in Manchester United or Everton, unfortunately. So, that was a good question.
I think I'd also say Arsenal for similar reasons. I think having the chance to manage, like, probably one of the best young cores in the league. Like, obviously, Arsenal have their issues, and you know, it's for some reason they don't want Champions League football. But, like, there's a lot more promise there than Everton, and I don't even want to go near United for a multitude of reasons. Actually, no, you know what? I'd go to United and give Harry Maguire a clause in his contract where he has to play every game. And
he already has that in his clause.
And then figure out a way to bankrupt United so that way they get relegated.
I mean, they don't need you to do that. Like, they're already doing that. Like, they don't need your assistance. It's like, happening right now.
They're already a third of the way there.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, standing on the ledge, and they're just going to fall off. Like, gravity's going to take them. I mean, if you want to give them a shove, you can do it. But they're going to fall off the ledge is the reality of it.
They don't need your managing expertise for that. They can do it themselves. Thank you very much.
Strong.
Now, would you – second follow-up, would you rather manage Liverpool, City, Madrid, or Bayern?
Liverpool, City, Madrid, or Bayern? Madrid. No matter what I do, they'll win something.
Yeah, I mean, you can just smoke a cigar on the sideline and, like, watch them win shit.
I mean, like, how different are Ancelotti and I really, besides the color of the hair? Like I can raise one eyebrow. I don't know if I can do it for 90 minutes, but I can look perplexed and not actually do anything.
I would almost – so I wouldn't pick Bayern just because, like, they're expected to win the Bundesliga every year. I'd almost pick Man City because the reason I would pick Man City is they haven't won the Champions League, so there's really nothing to lose there. And then on top of that, there's no fan base, so no one can really be mad at you if you're not, like, performing well. Like, who's gonna knock on your door if you're not doing well? No one. No one's gonna show up. So you're in the clear there.
Might get beheaded,
and you get handed $1 billion to play with. So
also, Hunter, to your point, like, Ancelotti he's actually apparently, like, a really, really good manager. Like a man manager. And, like, everywhere he's gone, like, the players, like, absolutely love him. I do think the fact that like he has one league title for each league, like he won all five leagues, but he has five league titles is like a pretty funny fun fact. But apparently he's like a ridiculously good man manager. Yeah, so like he's not just some rando, you know, but like I think that goes underappreciated because like we see like tactics, you know. Yeah. All right, you wanna go to Serie A now?
Oh yeah.
All right, so we're going to the final couple of days of Serie A, final match day, but final like they play across a bunch of different days for some reason. And Milan is up 2 points on Inter with a better head-to-head, a worse goal differential, but that's irrelevant. Which means they just need to pull out a draw against Sassuolo, and they win the Scudetto for the first time in like 45 billion years because Juventus keep winning it over and over. Chris, I know this makes you happy, makes me happy too, but you've kept faith more than I have. Actually, that's true. I think we switched off a couple times, but you've definitely been a lot more excited about it throughout the season.
Fucking bed.
Sorry, the recording only got the last part. If you want to say it again.
Yeah, that's okay. So Pranav dropped off just like we thought AC Milan would drop off, but they didn't. They're here. They're in first place, and they're gonna botch this last game this weekend. That's my hot take for the night.
Who are they playing?
I don't think it's a hard game.
Sassuolo.
Oh, they're playing Sassuolo.
I mean, according to Kieran, Berardi's the best fucking player in the world.
Yeah, they're going up against prime Messi right now, so. I mean, they need a win. Let's face it. They can win. They'll probably do it. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's very fun that we have this many leagues coming down to the final day.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I don't think I've ever seen it before. I mean, it's like two out of the top five leagues, but it's fine. Also, Zlatan was on Milan the last time they won the league, and he's on it again. This time they might win the league. And they only need a draw. They don't need to win because they have a better head-to-head against Inter.
It's too bad that Zlatan isn't as good as Drogba.
Zoltan. At least Drogba has a league title to his name.
What?
Fucking Champions League title. My name is Hada.
Zlatan has all the league titles. I think, has Zlatan won?
No.
Not Germany.
Not Germany and not the Prem.
Not the Prem. Definitely not the Prem. Yeah.
Come on now. Yeah, I wonder why.
Probably his own fault.
It's very silly of me.
He steals the club.
What else we got? The Serie A, I don't know. My list was yanked from me. Well, all right. We're not going to talk about the Champions League because we got next week for that. Hopefully, Karen will be awake for that. Dude, it's fucking like it's like 10 a.m. And he's not awake, but whatever. He like knew we were recording. Yeah, whatever. We'll talk about the Champions League next week. Kieran can talk about how, what was it, Madrid are the favorites? Whatever. I don't know. Anything else anyone wants to add?
For the Champions League?
No, just like in general.
I mean, I guess this is kind of the end of the road here. I think we talked about this previously, but I think for our next episode, we're going to do like a season recap and like dive like deeper into like our favorite and least favorite moments from the season, which I think should be a funny episode. And I don't know, it's going to be pretty nostalgic as well. So I don't know. I just want to say I'm like looking forward to that one with the season ending.
Kieran has one good memory from this entire season.
Yeah, and it happened last week.
Yeah. To be fair, that's one more good memory than you have. So.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, the only good memory I have is when Ronaldo scored a hat trick against Tottenham. That's about it. Mm-hmm.
What about sold all those shirts?
I mean, anyway, well,
is this what you want to do, Hunter? You tell me you want to go to bed, and then you're going to start this argument because you're going to be up till 4 a.m. now. Nice work. Your dog's not going to wake you up. I'm going to keep you awake. How does that feel?
No, Chris, you're going to be up until 4 a.m. with the clenched fist looking up at the ceiling like, damn, Hunter. Like, Ronaldo's really good, okay? I don't get it. He's saving the club. You don't get it.
Saving the club from relegation.
All in a day's work for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Suey.
Oh, I guess we didn't really. We actually didn't talk about the title race, but anyway, I had the Make Us Dream Stevie G. Make Us Dream. just hold him to a draw. That's all I ask for.
I really want that Aguero goal with Coutinho. Coutinho.
we'll edit the podcast intro for next season.
Yes.
That'd be unbelievable. I think that might top like including the party for the Champions League trophy in 2019. Well, okay, I gotta stop fucking fantasizing. It's just gonna make me sad in the end. So anyway, that's all we got here, I think, for Chip the Keeper podcast. Good night. And eat your vegetables. See ya.